The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
2023 began like this.
At the stroke of midnight, the first few seconds of 2023, the Dawgs dig deep and earn the right to defend their national championship in L.A.
As the Georgia Bulldogs play for another national title Monday night, the Georgia legislature will gavel in for a new session Monday morning.
Lawmakers won't stick around long, though. Georgia's spot in the national football championship is scrambling the legislative schedule.
And in Georgia, the Bulldogs trump legislative business, no doubt.
But we're here to talk politics, not football.
Republican Governor Brian Kemp is beginning his second term in office.
I'm looking forward, like I said, to working with the General Assembly on a host of issues that I campaigned on, which obviously, you know, those are front and center.
And there will be important changes under the Gold Dome as new leaders take over the House and Senate.
As we look forward to the 2023 session, we will work with Governor Kemp and our colleagues in the state Senate.
I do look forward to working with the governor's office as well as the House and the Senate members as well.
It's week one of the 2023 Georgia legislative session, and you're listening to Gold Dome Scramble, a pop-up podcast from WABE's Political Breakfast. Welcome to Gold Dome Scramble. I'm WABE Politics editor Susanna Capoluto, and I'm joined by WABE Politics reporters Rahul Bali and Sam Greenglass. Hey, guys.
Hello. Let's do it again.
We're back.
For the next 3 months, we'll be covering the ins and outs of Georgia's legislative session. Georgia's General Assembly makes laws about everything from abortion and guns to taxes and schools. So, what happens under the Gold Dome affects all of us, and we're here to help make sense of it. Later, we'll be joined by Georgia reporter Jill Nolan to zoom out and talk about how leadership changes will affect the legislature. But first, let's look at what's ahead the first week. Raul, what should we expect as the session gets underway?
Susanna, it's going to be a very, very slow start, and there's so many reasons for that. First of all, of course, as we mentioned, Georgia Bulldogs playing in the college football national title game. That means we're going to be done really quick on Monday, probably start late on Tuesday, and that'll also be a short day. And then with redistricting and the 2022 elections, we have dozens of new members in the legislature. As we mentioned in the top of the show, we have new leaders at the top of both the Georgia House and the Georgia Senate. There's going to be a lot of organization. There's going to be people moving into offices, a lot of the basics just to get the session going. So I expect it to be a very slow start on the first week. Of course, big days. You know, we've got some big events in the first week, and then we have the budget week after that.
All right, so let me just run down what these first couple of weeks will look like in the legislature. After the session gavels in on Monday, one of the first really big events will be Governor Brian Kemp's swearing in for his second term on Thursday, January 12th. This is kind of, you know, like a presidential inauguration where the executive officers of the state, you know, put their hands on the Bible and take the oath of office and prepare to start their terms. Then after that budget week that Raul mentioned, where all the committees kind of get together and prepare the state budget, we come to the State of the State address. That's on January 25th. And, you know, similar to the State of the Union, where the president stands up in Congress and sets out their priorities for the upcoming year and talks about the state of the nation, this is where the governor does basically that same thing, talking about their priorities for this year. year in office and talking about where Georgia is in this political moment. Now, thrown into this mix, something that Raul wanted to make sure I mention is this big annual event called Eggs and Issues. And that's where Governor Kemp and other big wigs in Georgia politics go in front of the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. And they kind of lay out their priorities for the year, too. And every once in a while, they'll make a little bit of news. So that's why it's something that we are keeping our eyes on as we head into next week.
Last year, lawmakers passed major bills on access to guns, how race is taught in classrooms, mental health, and tax refunds. What are some of the big things you expect to come up this year?
So there's a couple of things that I'm watching right off the bat. The first is looking at the future of Georgia's runoffs. There was lots of talk about wanting to change Georgia's runoff structure after December's four-week race between Senator Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. You know, it was this newly condensed time frame where people were rushing to get prepared for the elections and kind of dragging out a race that ended up having the same result as the November election. Even Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger says he wants the legislature to get rid of the runoff. What that looks like exactly, we don't know. It could be eliminating that 50% vote threshold to win a race. It could be lowering it. It could be adopting something called ranked choice voting. We will have to see. Another issue, gambling. This is kind of a perennial topic that pops up in legislative debates. Some proponents are saying it has a real shot to pass this year. Just a little context here. Most gambling, it is illegal in Georgia, except the lottery. And fun fact, bingo and raffles, those are allowed. What is most likely to move is online sports betting specifically, but doing that would require two-thirds of both chambers to put language on a statewide ballot for a constitutional amendment. So a lot that has to happen there.
You know, another important person who's going to be driving this agenda is Governor Kemp. And last month, he held a press conference to talk about some of the agenda items that he was going to be pushing.
As I shared on the campaign trail, I'm calling for a second one-time tax refund of equal size to the first one. Again, it will give over $1 billion back to the Georgia taxpayers. I'm also asking that we use an additional $1 billion to fund homeowner tax relief at the local level for the amended 2023 budget.
Now, some of the other items that Governor Kemp mentioned during that press conference, he mentioned crime, specifically gang crime. He talked about education, specifically learning loss and school security, and then economic development. So some of the other things I do want to mention that are on my radar, electric vehicle related legislation seems to be something that's going to be pushed, including how charging stations are built around the state of Georgia, the possibility of bringing back the state tax credit for buying an EV. And what about the fees that are currently being charged to EV drivers? Those are the fees that are being charged as a replacement to lost gas tax revenues. And what could that mean for all Georgia drivers? You know, could the formula of how we pay taxes, whether it's gas tax or a tax on EVs, be changed for every driver in the state of Georgia? And then, of course, we've heard this whole discussion about how EV companies sell their vehicles in the state of Georgia. You know, some of the other things that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, there's still these challenges around Georgia's medical cannabis program. You know, and some of the smaller and more interesting issues that I've heard about, a possible return of discussions about right to visit. You know, if there's a pandemic going on, the right to visit a nursing home or the right to visit a hospital. And then I've also heard some interesting discussion about legislation around the food apps, food delivery apps that some of us use to get our food, and what that's doing to the restaurant businesses and some other issues around that. So, you know, there's always this one surprise issue. And I think sometimes I play this game of trying to figure out what is that interesting issue. You know, we laugh about it now, but you remember how much we did on raw milk last year and legalizing that in the state of Georgia and how much attention that got, because it was just a kind of an issue that came out of left field. But those are some of the big issues and some of the smaller issues that I'm going to be following. And of course, the state budget. The late David Ralston always said the number one thing, passing a state budget. And that's going to be interesting because of the billions in surplus that the state of Georgia has on its hands right now.
And constitutionally, passing a budget is the only thing lawmakers actually have to do in the 40-day session. So, but they got plenty of money to play with. This is a good time to take a break. I'm Susanna Capaluto, and this is the Gold Dome Scramble.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're back. Now we mentioned some new faces will be in charge when the session gavels in. Here to talk about why that matters is Jill Nolan, reporter at the Georgia Recorder. Hey, Jill.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jill.
Okay, Jill, before we get into the meat of this conversation, you've been covering the Georgia legislature for a while now, and I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about what your first day walking into the State House was like the first time you covered a session.
Yeah, sure. It was in 2015. I remember being completely terrified. I was at the time writing for a group of newspapers owned by CNHI. So that's like Valdosta, Dalton, cities well outside of Atlanta. And I walked in smack in the middle of the session. So things were well underway and I had no idea even where the bathroom was. So I had a lot to learn very quickly.
Well, this is my second session and I can tell you first thing I tried to figure out was where the bathroom was.
Yes, it's important.
Okay, so Jill, you have a few sessions under your belt at this point. What do you think this first day is going to look like?
I'm expecting a super quick first day. Some of them, it's the day of the national championship. Some of them are actually trying to fly out to the other side of the country to be there. So I think it's going to be wham, bam, very quick. I think I'm expecting mostly the usual ceremony and excitement of the first legislative day, with of course that anticipation of the big game layered on. Just as an aside, I don't think we'll get a whiff of a policy agenda from anyone until probably day three. But also, there will be a note of sadness, I think, on the first day, because it's the first session without House Speaker David Ralston at the mic calling lawmakers to their desks.
So let's talk about these changes. Republican State Representative John Burns, who's been the majority leader, is going to be taking over the Speaker's chair after David Ralston's more than dozen years. And then over in the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan did not run for re-election. So the new incoming president of the Senate is Lieutenant Governor-elect Burt Jones. That's a lot of changes, Jill.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard to overstate how big of a change all this is. Yeah, I remember the curiosity about Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan when he first took office in 2019 and all the speculation about how much power he would actually be given after popping over from the House and beating the leading state senator in that race. But to have a leadership change in both chambers at the same time, especially a new House Speaker, which is basically the second most powerful position in state government, that's really huge.
So should we expect to see differences in how the power is exerted in these bodies, the types of laws that maybe get attention? Is this an ideological shift or is it just style here?
Yeah, I really think that's one of the kind of big questions going into the session. On the House side, it feels like John Burns wants to lead in the spirit of David Ralston, who was viewed as a consensus builder and someone who is often credited as having a moderating influence on the chamber. So assuming Representative Burns has an easier time getting elected than Kevin McCarthy, I think the differences will be more about personality and individual style than anything else. But that's the House side. I think on the Senate side, it's going to be a completely different story. It's a huge change to go from Lieutenant Governor Duncan, who, of course, is one of the most vocal critics of Donald Trump, to a Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, who is the only Trump-appointed candidate to win statewide last year, and who was one of the fake electors in 2020. So I think there are still a lot of questions about how Jones might shake things up in the Senate.
I'm really interested to see those changes in the state Senate. And one of the first signs are going to be the committee assignments and the chairs that are handed out. And let me give you one example on this. you know, looking at the committees that may take up gambling legislation, for example, and what those committees look like. If those committees are leaning more pro-gambling, then that's definitely something that I'm going to be watching. That's going to be a sign of maybe where the state Senate will be going on a major issue like gambling.
So there is going to be continuity in the governor's office. You know, as we've talked about, Governor Kemp is beginning his second term in office. But I'm wondering if you all think that second term Governor Kemp will be exactly the same as first term Governor Kemp, or we might see changes in that respect too.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting him to steer more to the middle on policy issues. And of course, I could be completely wrong about this, but if, you know, especially if he's eyeing a potential U.S. Senate campaign in 3 years, which there's, you know, a lot of speculation swirling about that right now, that he might challenge Senator Ossoff. Kemp has already locked down his conservative credentials in his first term with the 6-week ban on abortion, permitless carry, and other controversial measures that, you know, are popular with the base. He campaigned for re-election pretty much exclusively on economic issues that are broadly appealing, but he hasn't given much else away about what his legislative agenda might be in, you know, at least in his first year.
I think quite the opposite. I think he continues to burnish his conservative credentials on social issues and then his focus on economic issues and economic development. I think he sticks with the formula that's worked for him for both the past 4 years as governor and then the campaign even before that.
But Raul, I think that, you know, Georgia generally is always a moderate state. It's kind of part of our state logo, I think, a moderation. So I'm expecting him, I'm more on Jill's side, that he might moderate more to the middle. But we will see, right? Now, we know that Republicans still control the House, Senate, and Governor's Mansion, but their margins are slimming. And despite partisan gerrymandering, as a few more suburban seats flip Democratic, how would that change things?
Well, I think the top line is that Republicans need to stick together to pass legislation. You can't have as many defections. And if we think back to, you know, the big abortion vote in 2019, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was passed by a super slim margin, you know, that kind of vote would maybe play out differently today when, you know, all Republicans need to pretty much stick together to pass, you know, controversial legislation.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, especially, you know, if you look at the House, that's where the margin is really the most interesting. The Democrats did pick up 2 seats last year. Mary Robichaud was the only Democrat who lost, but Democrats did win 3 seats. So that was a net gain of 2. It's now 101-79 Republican majority. They need 91 votes to pass a bill. That's just 10 votes to spare.
Kind of a bigger thought that I've been having, watching what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the speaker fight, and that a significant portion of those Republicans who are voting against Kevin McCarthy are part of the House Freedom Caucus. The Georgia House Freedom Caucus actually only formed last year. It was one of the small press conferences that a few of us went to last year. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic for John Burns to deal with, whether it's this session, next session, or here in the next few years. Because if the Republican majority continues to slim, we may see the exact same scenario where those members that are further to the right will have more power and more influence.
Now, Jill, you've covered Georgia's mental health bill extensively last year that was championed by David Ralston. Now we have a new speaker, and I know a lot of mental health advocates were hoping that more would be done. You know, last year's bill was kind of considered a good start, but more needs to happen. What do you think will happen with mental health this session?
One of the questions I have, and one of the ones I've been trying to explore before the session starts, and I'm getting the sense that the energy that we saw from the House is very much still there. Representative Burns hasn't spoken publicly. He's not doing interviews right now, but I think I'm expecting to see more support for continued work on that side. Also, notably, the Behavioral Health Reform and Innovation Commission just came out with their new recommendations for this session. And so that commission, of course, was the driving force behind the legislation that passed last year. So I'm still expecting there to be multiple bills Kay Kirkpatrick plans to have a bill on the Senate side that would deal with the adequacy of insurer networks to make sure that when consumers go to use their benefits, that they're able to and that the services actually exist.
And there seems to be a pot of money now coming to the states with this drug settlement money. So there could be actually money to do something on mental health, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's an interesting process to follow. It's a huge sum of money. I think it's like $630 million. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that money is divvied up.
Well, that's it for this edition of Gold Dome Scramble with WABE's Sam Greenglass and Raul Bali and special guest Jill Nolan of the Georgia Recorder. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Susanna.
Gold Dome Scramble is a production of the WABE Politics Desk. Our producer is Kevin Rinker. You can also listen to our mothership podcast, Political Breakfast with Lisa Ram. It drops every Wednesday. I'm Susanna Capoluto. Have a good week.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bali. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.